Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are here with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. Just a few announcements. The new Word in Season is available in the narthex and by the glass doors. This starts at the beginning of April, so if you want to go ahead and grab those on your way out, they are there for you. We have several things going on this week. The grief group is meeting tomorrow, as is Agape at 6 o'clock at the office complex. Worship and music is switched to Tuesday since our Wednesdays are so full during Lent, so that'll be on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is our midweek worship and our midweek meal. Be looking ahead to next Sunday. The Silly Group is going to go bowling at the Y. If you would like to join us, please reach out to Anna Nelson. And then just have on the horizon that 2 weeks from today is Palm Sunday. So technically 2 weeks from today, Holy Week begins. We have a prayer shawl this morning for Mike Shipman, who is Joyce Shields' son-in-law. And he has had a lot of health struggles over the last year, and he is nearing death, and his family is very, very heartbroken. So we are going to pray for this prayer shawl. We'll bless it, and then we'll pass it around so that all of you can offer a brief prayer as well. God, we thank you that you are always ready and waiting for us when we come to you in prayer. And we come to you in prayer this morning for Mike. His body is so tired and weary from all that he has been through. And I know his family is heartbroken as they are bracing to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We pray that you, God, would comfort them with your presence, and that you would give all of them your peace and your hope. As Mike feels the weight of this prayer shawl laying upon him, may he feel the weight of our love and care for him here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. We have several birthdays coming up this week. Mandy Lawrence, Taylor Fritz, Walt Anderson, I believe it's Walt's 90th birthday this week, Rebecca Kepley, and Whitney Lohr. Also celebrating their baptismal anniversaries, Marie Palmer and Nathan Baker. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, we are delighted to welcome three new members this morning. We will do it right after the hymn of the day. Tracy and Eddie Summers and Pat Elder. The Fellowship Committee is hosting a reception after worship in the Fellowship Hall. We hope that all of you will come and greet our new members and welcome them into our fold. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for him myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of this city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made the seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out and went to Ramah. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along bright pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. With oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you.
Again today, we have a very lengthy gospel lesson, so I will invite you to be seated for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins and are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you say we see, and your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. We have a new friend today. What's your name, friend?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, that's right. I think I've met you before, right? Yes. Well, welcome. So a few minutes ago, we read the 23rd Psalm out loud. And the 23rd Psalm is probably a lot of people's favorite psalm. And I thought maybe you could help me show one of the action words, one of the verbs in this psalm. So toward the end, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." God's goodness and God's mercy shall follow me. What does it look like for something to follow? So if someone were walking, they would just kind of walk behind them, follow them. Well, actually, in Hebrew, which is the original language this psalm was written in, the word is pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And it actually is closer to meaning that goodness and mercy will chase after me. Chasing after us, it sounds different and it has a different word picture than following, right? Well, a little bit ago, Georgia said, "Is it ever okay to run in church?" And so I thought, maybe for today, we could chase after each other to show that God's mercy and goodness chase after us. So what do you think? You want to just go up this main aisle, or do you want to do a loop all around? What do you think? Calvin says a loop. Okay, let's start going this way. We'll come all this way back, and I'm going to chase after you guys, just like God's goodness and mercy chases after us. Okay, ready? I'm going to chase after you because God's goodness and mercy chases after us. Ready? Ready? I'm going to chase after you. I'm going to chase after you. I'm going to chase you. There we go. Yay. Good job, everybody. Now, I know that was kind of silly, but I think it helps us understand that God's goodness and mercy don't just follow us all of the days of our life, but God's mercy and goodness chase after us. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for our church. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. and help us to remember that it chases after us. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats or to the playroom. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will get your hymnals out and open up to hymn 279. 279. It's all the way back in the Christmas section. And we are going to sing the first verse a cappella, but maybe Judy, you can give us the starting note, because I'm tempted to start us way too low. Okay, here we go.
Oh, little.
The text for today's sermon is our Old Testament lesson. God was sending Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint a new king for Israel. And this is the story of why Jesus was born in Bethlehem and why that was important. Now, I know it sounds exciting, right? Bethlehem, that's where Christmas happened. That's where Jesus was born. But on top of it not being a very special place at that time, it was also a very dangerous place for Samuel to travel to. So he, of course, had some reservations about it. But Samuel was obedient to God and went to Bethlehem doing exactly what God said to do along the way. So God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king. Jesse brought seven of his sons, and I wonder if they were all lined up like a bridal party, you know, tallest to shortest, oldest to youngest. Samuel first saw Eliab. And he was convinced that this was the new king. He was tall and dark and handsome, just like a GQ model. Of course this must be the new king. But God rebuked Samuel and said, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So next came in Abinadab, and God said no, and then Shammah, and then four more sons, and God said no to all of them. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Are you sure this is everyone? Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse said, "Well, there is David, but he's out in the field keeping sheep." And Samuel said, "Bring him here." And they waited until he came. The youngest, the smallest, the shepherd boy. God has a special place in God's heart for shepherds. And when the small shepherd boy came in, the Lord told Samuel that he was the one, that he would be the king of Israel. And so Samuel anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I think on some level we can all relate to this story. I can't tell you how many times I've watched with disappointment everyone, and I do mean everyone, get picked to be on a team before me. The taller ones, the more muscular ones, the more athletic ones, they were always chosen ahead of very uncoordinated me. Or perhaps we remember in middle school or high school not being asked to dance while everyone seemingly had a date on the dance floor. At one point or another, we've all either been the youngest or the smallest, or we've been overlooked or undervalued for our age or our appearance. But the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. God does not choose what is obvious to human eyes, because the truth is that our human seeing often causes us to overlook so many things. Samuel trusted his eyes. He was looking for visual appeal, beauty, height. But our eyes can fool us and deceive us. God was looking for a leader with heart, with character. The truth is that God often sees possibilities and potential when others do not. God chose David, a young, small shepherd boy, not a CEO, not a Calvin Klein model, a shepherd. And by the way, he was from Bethlehem, which was not very impressive. And his family was not exactly the kind of family you'd want for royal pedigree. His great-grandmother was Ruth. She was an immigrant and a Moabite. And his great-grandfather, Boaz, descended from a Canaanite woman. Moabites and Canaanites were unclean foreigners, enemies of the Israelites. David's family tree was less than ideal in the world's eyes. But God does not see as humans see, and God sees possibilities and potential when others do not. You see, it's the line of David that leads us to Jesus, who himself did not fit the standards of human beings. But God finds possibilities for grace in unexpected places and in unexpected people. While others are looking for power and influence and success, God sees the hidden depth of the heart. God looks for the beauty of one's heart. I wonder, in our humanness, are we like the Pharisees in the gospel lesson for today? Are we blind but we don't know it? Our sinfulness and our brokenness, our own sight, so often blinds us to God's intent and to God's grace. We need God to help correct our vision so that we can see like God does, not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. Our human seeing makes it hard for us, if not impossible at times, to believe that God can find possibilities and potential even in us for God's grace. In David, the world saw an unimpressive, unknown, unvalued shepherd. But God saw his heart and chose him to be an instrument of God's Spirit and of God's will. In Jesus, a carpenter's son from Nazareth, by the way, can anything good come from there? In Jesus, the world saw an unimpressive, unlikely Savior. And in Christ, God's anointed one, the Messiah. God's love and grace took on human form, forever giving us hope and salvation and eternal life. And grace upon grace upon grace. The story of young David being anointed king reminds us that most often the vessels that God chooses for God's grace are not the obvious vessels that the world would choose. Remember last week the story about the Samaritan woman at the well? She was an unclean foreigner, and she had come in the middle of the day to avoid seeing anyone. And yet, after her encounter with Jesus, she left her water jar behind as she ran to tell her people about Jesus, because she herself had become the vessel, and she was bubbling over with the living water. God does not see as humans see, but God looks on the heart. God doesn't choose vessels for God's grace based on appearance. God doesn't dismiss or ignore vessels because they're cracked or chipped or the paint is flawed. It doesn't matter to God where a vessel comes from, or whether the vessel is unimpressive or unknown or unlikely. God looks on the heart, and God finds possibilities for grace in unexpected places and in unexpected people, even us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated, and I would like to invite Eddie, Tracy, and Pat to come to the font. All right. How about you two stand here, and Pat and I will stand over here. There we go. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these people in the body of Christ who we welcome as new members into the life and ministry of this congregation. With the whole church, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We are called to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Sisters and brother in Christ, do you intend to continue in the covenant of your baptism among God's people in this place? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support and pray for these new members in their life in Christ? If so, say, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us. Let us welcome these siblings in Christ to this community of faith by proclaiming together, we rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. Thanks be to God. We are delighted to have you, and we look forward to continuing the welcome in the reception after the service.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. Eternal God, you seal us by the Holy Spirit and mark us with the cross of Christ forever in baptism. Inspire us by your love as together we strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Creating God, by your word you have made all things, and you hate nothing you have made. Teach us to perceive the beauty of the breadth of your creation, from the grandest mountain range to the smallest springtime bud. Merciful God,
Receive our prayer.
Powerful God, guide the work of heads of state and elected officials. Encourage them to lead with justice and to remove barriers that impede the well-being of all. Merciful God,
Receive our prayer.
Shepherding God, you lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. Keep watch over those who weep. Tend to all who are sick and comfort those who grieve, especially Dean, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Walt, Nancy, John, Karen, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, God, our host, you fill us at your table with more than we could ever ask. Feed us with hunger for justice. Equip the feeding ministries of this congregation and community, especially the backpack program and the blessing box. Nourish us so we can nourish our neighbors. Merciful God, Almighty God, we give you thanks for our new members, Pat, Eddie, and Tracy, whom you have drawn to yourself by the love of Jesus Christ, and whom we have welcomed into this household of faith. Keep us close together in your spirit, in the breaking of bread and the prayers, and in service to others. Merciful God, God of history, with thanksgiving, we remember our ancestors in faith who cared for your people. We praise you for the ways they formed the faith of others and continue to inspire us. Merciful God, receive.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table, and Jesus is our host. We all are Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat and be nourished, fed and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to receive communion, and all who wish to not receive communion are welcome to come forward, crossing your chest like this so I'll know and I can give you a blessing. Gluten-free wafers are available in the golden picks, and there's grape juice in the center of the tray. Come and receive Jesus, our strength in the wilderness. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve in love. Thanks be to God.